अनंत गुरु वैष्णव वृंद की जय इसकॉन विभूति फाउंडर चाय शिल प्रभुपाद की जय तव प्रेमानंद हरि ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु ग्रंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद Gana-timirandasya gana-gana-salakaya Shakshurun-militam yena-tasmai Shri-guru-ve-namaha Nama-om-vishnu-pradai Krishna-pristai-bhutale Srimate-bhakti-vidante-swamani-ti-namine Namaste-sarisvati-deve Gauravani-pracharine निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पश्चाचार्य सतारिणे श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टम स्थापितम येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयं ददाति स्वपरान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुता परिकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवं च श्रीरूपं सग्रहतं सहगणरघुनाथं वितं तं सजीवं सार्वैतं सवारुतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखं वितं हे कृष्ण करुणसिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपीशा गोपिकाकान्ता Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radha Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Triadvaita Gadadhara Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So reading from Bhagavad Gita, Satya, chapter 18, text 18. Kindly repeat. Gyanam Gyayam Parigyata Trivida Karma Shodana Karanam Karma Kartati Trivida Karma Sangraha Gyanam Gyayam Parigyata Trividar karma chodana. Karanam karma karteti. Trivida karma sangraha. Jnanam gyayam parigyata. Trivida karma chodana. Karanam karma karteti. Trivida karma sangraha. Okay, someone else.
Gyanam gyayam parigyata.
Gyanam gyayam parigyata.
Trividha karma chodana.
Trividha karma chodana.
Karanam karma karteti.
Karanam karma karteti.
Trividha karma sangraha.
Trividha karma sangraha.
Gyanam gyayam parigyata.
Gyanam gyayam parigyata.
Objective of knowledge, parigyata, the knower, trivida, of three kinds, karma, of work, chodana, the impetus. Karanam, the senses. Karma, the work. Karta, the doer. Iti, thus. Trivida, of three kinds. Karma, of work. Sangraha, the accumulation. Translation. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors that motivate action. The senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of action. Okay. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The three kinds of impetus for daily work: knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower. The instruments of work, the work itself, and the worker are called the constituents. Constituents of work. Any work done by any human being has these elements. Before one acts, there is some impetus, which is called inspiration. Any solution arrived at before work is actualized is actualized is a subtle form of work. Then work takes the form of action. First one has to undergo the psychological process of thinking, feeling and willing, and that is called impetus. The inspiration to work is the same if it comes from the scripture or from the instruction of the spiritual master. When the inspiration is there and the worker is there, then actual activity takes place by the help of the senses, including the mind, which is the center of all the senses. The sum total of all the constituents of an activity are called the accumulation of work. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om aganati miranda shyagana gana salakya shakshuru namiritam yanatasmai shri guru venamaha. Nama om vishnu praya krishna prashtaya bhutale. Srimate bhaktivedanta santanamana. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Guru Vani Prachami Devi Se Sasuri Vani Paskatyari Satari. So the verse was Jnanam Jayam Parigyata Trivida Karma Chodana Karanam Karma Karte Ti Trivida Karma Sangraha. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors that motivate action. The senses, the worker, and the doer are the three constituents of actions. Okay, this is Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter. Sometimes he said it, the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is a give some, well, first some sankhya, analyze what is the body, what is the soul, and then knowledge about the action, karma yoga, detachment from the fruits of actions, and a little bit, what is a perfection. So it's a little bit of a summarization in the beginning. Then there's different chapters, and then this 18th chapter is stated, is a little bit of a final summarization of the Bhagavad Gita, wherein many subject matters or different subject matters are touched upon. In the beginning, the beginning of the 18th chapter is Arjuna. He asks. He has a question. I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation and the renounced order of life, the sannyas, killer of the kesi demon, master of the senses. So he goes in, what is renunciation, what's the renounced order of life? So then Krishna speaks, and he speaks about action. And there is... He speaks about Krishna mentions yagya, dana, tapa, sacrifice, charity, and austerity. And then he says that some say that this should also be given up, because that's a question, renouncing. Okay, that's a good point. You know, we should renounce. So does it mean that we should we give up everything, or just sit under a tree and meditate, or what? How? But the, okay. Yeah, okay. Tomorrow you give lecture. Okay, then Krishna says, well, his opinion of the finally a statement: these three things, yagya, dana, tapa, should never be given up, because they're purifying even for the great souls. And if you give up something that's good, okay, if you give up something that's good for you, for your spiritual life, that's not very good. Of course, we could say then, Yukta Vairagya, using everything in Krishna service. So we can use so many things in Krishna service. But the question is, we may be using in Krishna service, I could ask, but is it good for your spiritual life? I mean, can we use it in such a way that it actually is good for our spiritual life? Or is it just that we, like to enjoy playing with toys of various kinds? Okay, of course, there's something we can use, we should use it, and if it's truly usable in serving Krishna, then it means we'll support our spiritual life. So then, sacrifice, charity, and austerities, that should not be given up. It's good for everyone, even the great souls, Krishna says. And then, a little bit later, he speaks about, and then we're getting into where we are now. Mighty Armed Arjuna, that is text 18:13. According to the Vedanta, now Krishna quotes Vedanta, sometimes in the Bhagavad Gita in the beginning also, second chapter, he quotes, the great sages have concluded that of the existence there's no cessation, and of the non-existent there's no duration of existence. The point is that if that was truly exists eternally, that what doesn't exist eternally doesn't really exist. It has no permanent existence, and thus you can't really, at least you cannot rely on it permanently. Whereas that's what's truly worth relying on is eternal. You can say the Vedas, the Vedanta, true Dharma, we can rely on it because it's eternal principles, it's not temporary things. In modern time we can have so many things. Everything is changing, back in everything and everything. So many things are changing, changing ideas and philosophies. And just like I was going in school once a long time ago, and I was going on at an economical direction of the whatever. I don't know if that's high school or what it's called. And the teacher stands there and says, "Well, you know, you have to keep updating yourself in these matters, because what you learn today will be changed in 5 years." Well, maybe it was a little bit radical, but I thought, what on earth am I learning something that will not be valid in 5 years? So that's we're living in a changing world. You can't really rely on laws and regulations are changing, and so that makes a very unsafe situation. You can't really build your future on such a principle, you know. And then of course coming to Krishna consciousness was nice, because here was things that truly, it was true 5,000 years ago. It's true now. It will be true in another 5,000 years, or 50,000, or 50 million years. So that's worth relying on, so say, for the future, or for the planning of one's life, if you say like that. And then we can also, of course, say, okay, I plan my life, and we plan our life for the sake of maximizing the sense gratification, identifying us with ourselves with the body. But then the Bhagavad Gita makes a point that we are not this body, so that is not a good point to center our life around the body. It's not truly us, and it doesn't last. Okay, so then the enlightened soul understands that he or she is not this body, we're a spirit soul, eternal living being. And we understand further, not only that, but that we are also the eternal servants of the Supreme Soul, and we can say of the Supreme Whole. Everything is included in the Supreme. The five causes of the causes for the accomplishment of all action. So we have to do here with knowledge and action and things like that. So it stated these five causes. Place of action, the body, the performer, the various senses, many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul. These are the five factors of action. So there's the place, the performer. Well, the performer makes sense. Factors of action. Well, fact, the place is a fact of the action. Well, we're sitting in the temple room and giving lecture, not just in any bar or pub or something. It's a specific place. We're choosing a place. And then there is a person. Okay, now I'm talking. You're listening. Well, we all here for a good reason, because we want to, in one way or another, serve Krishna and know about Krishna. So that's, we can say we are the performers. I'm performing, you're performing. I'm performing as a talker, as a speaker, you're performing as a listener. And the listener is an important part of the equation. Just like Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Arjuna is the most qualified person. Sukadeva Goswami speaks to who? Parikshit Maharaj, who is really intensely eager to hear and to know. So when you have such an audience, then that pulls out of the speaker so much. It inspires the speaker. Also, just by hearing or putting your attention into it, you affect the what happens. This is quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics sounds, well, quantum mechanics doesn't follow the law of modern mechanics of physics. Quantum physics, maybe it's called quantum physics. Quantum physics doesn't follow the same laws as regular physics. You say you confirm it. Yes. Okay, good. I'm right. Even though I quit school when I was 18. You learn something in Krishna consciousness. But they found out that, you know, when they make these quantum physics experiments, that the fact that someone observes the experiment affects the experiment. So, you know, how can you make an experiment that is true, totally isolated and, you know, not influenced by unwanted things? Because you still have the observer there, and just by the word observation, you affect. So we can say, you're observing me. I'm observing you. We're speaking, you're hearing. In any case, there's some kind of exchange going on a quantum level. We can say on the level of consciousness. We boil down existence to the most essential essence. So we can say that's consciousness, and that's we are spirit souls. The poor former, then it says, then they mention there's various senses. So in the action there's various senses and different kinds of endeavors. And then finally, ultimately, so we may do things, we may come, you sit down, listen nicely, if someone tries to speak nicely, whatever, right place and everything. But then there's a final factor, it's a super soul. Krishna. So that we can say, that's maybe the quantum physics doesn't understand yet. We make the experiment, we make the work, we make the thing, and there is a factor of the super soul of Krishna, of destiny. Because we may, just like Arjuna again, he was in Dwarka, And Krishna was going to leave this world. And Krishna asks, some other Krishna, it becomes clear, Krishna tells, at least Krishna tells Arjuna to bring the queens to Hastinapur. So after Krishna leaves, Arjuna takes the queens and tries to bring them to Hastinapur. But what happens is that there comes a gang of cowherds or dacoits or whatever they were. They were in a stealing mood. And they took all these queens and took them away. And Arjuna tried to fight them with his Gandiva bow. He was the most powerful bowman or whatever, but he couldn't defeat them. So he was very bewildered how this could happen. So one explanation is, well, Krishna was not anymore there. He has, so to say, done. Krishna has withdrawn his potency. Also in the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna was there with Arjuna. And if Krishna hadn't been driving Arjuna's chariot, Arjuna would have been finished. And there's a story that at the very end, the last day at the end, when that they're going to end, then usually it is that it would have been, let's see, how was that? That the driver first, the charioteer would first step off and then the fighter. But Krishna told him, "Oh, Arjuna, you first step off. Then I step off." So then Arjuna stepped off and then Krishna stepped off and then the whole chariot burnt into ashes. Because there were so many astras, so many weapons, so many mantras, powerful mantras being shot at that area. Each maybe of this mantra was enough to destroy that chariot. Because of the presence of Krishna, therefore the chariot wasn't affected. Continue to function. So we can, literally we can say, in our body here, we're sitting and, we can go, maybe there's many things happens, but as long as Krishna in the heart, or it's a super soul, and it says, you, it's okay, you go on living, you can live. The heart continues to, to beat. As long as Krishna, the soul and the super soul is there. But in the moment the super soul withdraws his shakti from the body, we will just fall dead down. Okay, Hare Krishna. So there is five factors of action. And then here today we have then this speaking about knowledge, Krishna speaks further. He speaks about knowledge, the object of knowledge. Okay, knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors that motivate action. The senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of actions. And this is a little bit mystical to me. The technicalities here, but Prabhupada gives some explanation in the purport. maybe it's a language, constituents of work. Can we say another word for constituents, or there's a impetus is something that inspire. Okay, Prabhupada speaks about impetus, something that make us want to act. If we say like that, in the purport, Prabhupada says there are three kinds of impetus for daily work. So, impetus is something that inspires. Okay, I'm inspired to go to Mangalartik. Well, there's some inspired and inspired, but we feel that we should go. maybe we're feeling that we should go because we have some knowledge then we can say the knowledge being the impetus. We have the knowledge that the Mangala Arati is a good time, is a good ceremony. It's, why is it good? It's Artic, and there's several Artics during the day, at least mostly in the temple. I don't know how it is, how you do here. I don't worry about that. you have Mangal Artic, the Mangal Artic, the auspicious Artic. So that happens during a specific time of the day, in the early morning. And that early morning has a special Shakti. Yes, listen to that. As a special Shakti, wherein we can say it's easier to be in contact with a transcendent dimension. That's like in the temple, it's also a place, or a tirtha, a holy place, is also said to be another. A tirtha, holy place, is a place where it's easier to be in contact with the transcendent existence. So we make the temple, we have the worship and like that, and that by that, the temple becomes a tirtha, a place where it's easier to contact the Supreme. So there's a place, the places that are favorable, and there's times that are favorable. So we know this is a favorable time, we should take advantage. So that becomes that knowledge becomes an impetus for action, something that inspires us into action. Knowledge and the object of knowledge. And the knower, well, the one who has the knowledge becomes inspired. Something, he makes it action. Then there is, the instruments of work, well, we could take that to senses, or, and the work itself, we can say, and the worker, called the constituents of work, okay, that makes sense. The instruments of work, if we take that to senses, they are part of the work. The work itself and the worker, there's someone also that uses the senses. You can say, me as soul, as person, uses the senses and the capabilities in order to accomplish something. Okay, so Prabhupada says, any work done by any human being has these elements. And then this is interesting. Before one acts, there's some impetus, which is called, as Prabhupada says, inspiration. Okay, the Mangala Arati, there's inspiration. We feel inspired. Knowing the great benefits in Mangala Arati, attending Mangala Arati, we feel inspired to attend. Inspiration, we also sometimes think in terms of the super soul. Let's see now, I forgot that one. 1515, how is that? Sarvacham ridhi sanavistumatas miti gyanam apahanam cha. Sarvacham ridhi sanavistumatas miti gyanam apahanam cha. He says, I'm in the heart of all living entities. Krishna says, and for me come knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. But I mean, that's powerful. He gives you knowledge, takes away knowledge. He makes you remember something, makes you forget something. Or he can just subtly, make you forget a small detail, the keys, something. Forgetfulness, give forgetfulness. Knowledge, remember. You make remember or make you forget. So maybe we think we want to remember things, but maybe it's good that we forget things also. All the stupid things we wanted to do or did do. before we came to deeper understanding of the purpose of life. So we can forget that. And remember, maybe then he once says, remember the bad side of material existence, and remember what's actually the purpose of life. Okay, that inspiration, we can say, connected with the inspiration. Before one acts, there is some impetus which is called inspiration. Any solution arrived at before work is actualized in a subtle form of work. Then work takes a form of action. So first we think about it, and then we actually enter into action. And of course that thinking is in itself also a kind of work. Of course, thinking may be quite useless. Because we can sit around and think about something for the whole day and not come to a conclusion. At least me. I'm good at thinking, considering things from all kind of angles. But the more practical person will get to practical conclusion and getting done some action. But then we're thinking about it, then we also have meditation as a way of using the mind in a constructive way of creation. In what you create in your meditation, when you're in a meditative mood, what you create in your meditative mood has a different power than in just a thinking mood. So that's the Brahmana mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, in the example of meditation, who was sitting down. He was told on the Bhakti Sangam festival, we can translate it like that, that that what you devotional service done in your meditation is equally appreciated by the law that you'd actually do in actually action. Of course, then say, okay, just let's sit down and meditate, all of us. Well, if he would meditate like that sage or that brahmana, it would have actually a great act effect. Well, that brahmana, he did it so good that the Lord appreciated his endeavors and brought him back to the spiritual world. And actually, that's maybe the final impetus or goal of all our activities, to actually enter back to the spiritual world. In one sense, entering, we can say it is selfish. We enter the spiritual world and leave this world behind. But of course, we also leave a good example behind, hopefully. But thinking, feeling, and willing, Prabhupada mentions that. First there is a subtle work, contemplation, reflection, meditation, deep meditation on the subject matter, and then you get to a conclusion, we can say, not just some thought, but maybe more of a realization as to what is a good direction to take, and then you can go into action successfully. I would say successfully. So it's not a waste of time to carefully think about matters. If you do it properly, it may save a lot of time in the long term. Connected with meditation, real meditation, not just some thinking, not wishful thinking, but really contemplating all different aspects of it. He says, the prophet said, that is called impetus, the contemplation on the matter, what to do, and then getting. Then let's see here. But then Prabhupada makes it, we can say, as a general principle, that is true. Then here he speaks a little more specifically about the devotee. He says, the inspiration to work is the same if it comes from the scripture or from the instruction of the spiritual master. So for the devotees, in one sense, we take the inspiration from scriptures and from spiritual master or from sadhus, guru sadhu shastra, various manifestations of the spiritual master principle, we could say. But the Diksha Guru and Siksha Guru, different kind of gurus. Then Prabhupada says, when the inspiration is there, so this may be calculated, when the inspiration is there and the worker is there, then actual activity takes place by the help of the senses, including the mind, which is the center of the senses. So that is keeping it there. That inspiration, the worker, actual activity, and then the senses, including the mind, it all being there. That the sum total of all the constituents of an activity are called the accumulation of work. Because these different things come together and that accumulates to actually be the work or what will happen, so to say. It consists of different aspects. Okay, Hare Krishna. This Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, verse 18. Krishna will go through more things here, and the three modes of different material nature will go into, and how there is work and intelligence and renunciation and happiness in the three modes of material nature. That's quite interesting. So that's, he would say, and then he comes further to describing the four varnas, and then how one, by performing one's own duty, one can become perfect, and how even though making your own work, doing your own work is better, even though it's faulty, than doing another one's perfectly. They said, of course, then the question, what is my true dharma and work? Okay, Hare Krishna, 18th chapter. Maybe you have some question or comment. Okay. I didn't manage to activate your intelligence enough. I'm sorry. But that's maybe good. It's 7:45 and it's time to end the class. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna.